Take your Bibles out this morning, open them to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Hadn't the weather been great? Man, I love this time of year where it's not too hot, not too cold. And as a West Texas boy, I never thought I'd say this, but it hadn't been raining lately, and that's been a good thing. You know, when you're from West Texas, every day that rains, it's a good day, because sometimes it don't. But we've had plenty of rain, seems like, over the last several months, and so having a dry week with beautiful weather, it has just been incredible. So it's spring. Spring has sprung, and I tell you what, I love this time of year. I love the weather, but you know, spring around our house anyway means spring cleaning. Spring cleaning. Yeah, it turns out that I live with a woman who believes that cleanliness is next to godliness. Are we looking for... Right back here. Mm-hmm. Woo-hoo. We just had to find somebody. Yeah, so anyway, it turns out that I live with a woman who believes sincerely and has a deep felt conviction that cleanliness is next to godliness, and that everything has a place and it better be in it. Now, I personally have a deep seated conviction that cleanliness is next to impossible. So why bother? Right? Amen. So, you know, if those clothes that you dropped on the floor aren't tripping anybody up, then they'll be there when you're ready to pick them up and put them back on next time. What's the point? But anyway, because cleanliness is next to godliness around our house, we have been doing some spring cleaning this past week, praise God. And you know, the difficult thing for me about all of that is that I have some stuff that is very important and precious to me, that is not necessarily important or precious to everybody else that lives in my house, and so it needs to be thrown out, right? In fact, during this time of year, one of the big things that I do is I pay attention to the trash bin, because I'm always having to pull stuff out that just happens to get thrown away somehow, and miraculously it comes back. You know, around our house you hear, what are you doing with that ratty old sweater or that ratty old t-shirt on? I thought I threw that away. And I'm like, yeah, where? What was that all about? You know, what are you throwing this good stuff away for? You know, I mean, there are some things that you know, maybe they clutter up my life, but I just can't let them go. But you know, it's not just me, because we have boxes full of stuff that, for example, we've got boxes full of little pieces of paper that have coloring and scribbling on them done by little children many, many years ago, and we cannot get rid of that stuff, right? Amen. We're never going to look at them again, but every once in a while, so you never can tell. There's a whole lot of stuff. We've got filing cabinets in our house that have electric bills from 1978, for crying out loud. And we just cannot somehow, I mean, because who knows? You never know when you're going to need, you know, all of that stuff. Anybody else? I know your laughter means that you know what I'm talking about. Everybody's got stuff that you know needs to be taken to the curb and allowed, for it to go away, but for whatever reason, you know, you just can't let go of it. But you know, the beyond that, you know, the truth is that we all have stuff that not only we can't let go of because of some type of emotional attachment, but for others of us, we've got stuff that we can't let go anyway. I mean, there are some things that you just can't walk away from. I really appreciate the song that we just sang, and there's a great theology there to it. But you know, there are some things in your life, let's just be honest for just a second, that you might like to take to the curb and just leave there and let somebody else deal with it, but you just can't. For example, if you have a child that has gotten into trouble or gotten into drugs or something like that, how do you walk away from something like that? How do you leave something like that at the curb? If you've gone to the doctor and you've heard the diagnosis, cancer, is that a burden that you carry? How do you walk away from something like that? If you are stuck with a spouse that will not love you or respond to you right, and you pray about that and you take that to God, but how do you walk away from something like that? I mean, we all carry baggage with us, right? And some of it we would do well to just get rid of. Guilt, shame, unforgiveness, those type of things. I mean, we all carry a lot of emotional baggage in our life, a lot of spiritual baggage, that we would do well to lay down at the feet of Jesus and just walk away from. But there are other things that you just can't leave behind. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. What do you do when you're burdened, when you're weighted down with the burdens of this life and you just can't walk away from them? How do you take it? How do you deal with life when it gets you down and you can't just leave it behind? Well, that's the passage of Scripture that I'd like to share with you this morning. Because the question is, does the Bible impact life? Does the Bible have anything to say to us or about us when we face life? And every one of us face things in life, things that I've just described. And it might be one thing for you, it might be something for somebody else. It might be a great thing, it might be a small thing, it might be life-changing or life-altering, or it might just be something that is just kind of like a thorn in the flesh. How do you deal with the stuff that you just can't lay down and walk away from? Because sometimes life doesn't work that way. And quite honestly, that's not necessarily what God says to do. Now, there are some things, again, in life that we need to take to the feet of Jesus, that we need to take to the cross. Praise God, the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus extends to every area in our life. And there are some things in our life that blood just washes away and takes away. But there are other things that what God does is He gives us the power and the strength. Remember what the children sang? We are weak, but He is strong. Does the gospel work when I can't walk away from my burdens? Matthew chapter 11. And one of the most powerful things that Jesus ever said, and let me just pause right here, by the way, and just encourage you in applying the Scripture to life. This is one of those passages of Scripture that you ought to memorize. There are a number of these as you go through. I've mentioned before that my life verse, right, is Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things together for the good of them who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And I can't tell you how many times during the day, certainly during the week, that I will take that verse out and apply it to the situations of my life. This is one of those. This passage is one of those. I would encourage you to take these verses, and there's three verses here, and commit them to memory. And then as you go through your day and you face things that weigh you down or burden you down, things that you can't really walk away from, things that you wonder how you're going to make it or what's going to see you through, you take this passage of Scripture. Jesus said, verse 28, Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves," or rest for your soul. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His word. Now what we've been preaching on over the last while from Matthew's gospel is under the the title or the series is Just a Carpenter. You know, there were times when people looked at Jesus and he was doing or he was saying something, they would go, hold on just a minute, that's just a carpenter. He's just a carpenter. That's Joseph's son. And maybe they knew that in Nazareth he had a carpenter shop there, and for maybe 15, 20 years or so after his dad died, or maybe he had worked with his dad, Jesus was known as the carpenter of Nazareth. That title followed him on after that. And there were times when people looked at him and said, hold on just a minute, how can a carpenter do that? What does a carpenter mean by saying that to me? And the truth is that if all Jesus is a carpenter, then really he can't do anything for you. Because there are plenty of carpenters out there. If you need one, you know, you go find, and whatever you need to get built, you can get it built. Most of us can do our own carpentry work even. If all he is just a carpenter, then I can take Jesus or I can leave him, because there's plenty of carpenters. But if he is more than a carpenter, and that really is the point. What Jesus did was he came and he said, listen, if you're looking for a carpenter, there's plenty of other folk, but I got something more for you, because I am something more. And today he says, hey, I want to tell you about a yoke. Now, what's interesting about this is that a yoke was something that carpenters dealt with in Jesus' day, because a yoke was made of wood. And if you heard me talking to the children, a yoke is something that connects two animals together. In fact, if you have one animal connected to a wagon, he is harnessed to that wagon. But if you have two or more, they are yoked, because they are connected together. And so what would happen is, if you had two oxen or two horses or something that you needed a yoke for, what you would do is you'd go to the carpenter and he would measure your animals. And then he would custom fit a yoke for your animals. After he had made it, he would bring it. They would try it on. He might have to shave part of it off. But he would get it, because what a yoke does is it puts two animals together so that they can pull together. By the way, the ability of two animals to pull more than just what each one of them can do individually, because if you take two animals and one can pull a ton and the other can pull a ton, you would think that together they could pull 2 tons. No, together they can pull 5 tons. Well, that knowledge, or that thing, I don't know exactly how even to describe it, is called synergy. When two can pull more together than the sum of the individual ones, that's called synergy. And what a yoke does is a yoke harnesses the synergy of two animals, okay? And so what the carpenter would do is he would custom fit the yoke for the animals, because an ill-fitting yoke would add to the burden. I mean, the purpose of the yoke is to lighten the burden on each one, but an ill-fitting yoke would increase the burden. And so the carpenter would work to custom fit the yoke. There's a story about Jesus that maybe outside of his carpenter shop was a sign that said, my yokes fit well. And so Jesus, the carpenter, is talking about a yoke, something that a carpenter would actually be involved in. And he says, hey, take my yoke upon you. Now, what we're talking about here is synergy. What we're talking about is yoking up with Jesus, okay? He says, my yoke is light, my burden is easy. In other words, if you come to Jesus and you're under a weight or a burden, that burden or weight is going to be lightened by yoking yourself up to Jesus. Now, that is the invitation, and beloved, that really is the entire sermon. Yoke your life up to Jesus. It will lighten your burden. But I want to just unpack this passage of Scripture with you today, because again, this is something that you can take and apply to life. When you begin to take the Word of God and you apply it to individual instances or occurrences in your life, what you're going to find is the Word of God just begins to pop, man. It comes to life, because God's Word is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So what I want to encourage you in the Scripture today is to take this and apply it to life. And what I want to do now for the next couple of minutes is just unpack this passage of Scripture under the four verbs that are found here. okay? So there are four verbs, four words that help us to understand exactly what Jesus is saying and why it is so powerful to yoke your life up to Jesus, okay? So here we are. And I've entitled this sermon, Finding the Carpenter's Yoke, okay? First word is this, come. Come. And that's the very first word in verse 28. He says, come to me. Now, beloved, I want you to hear the simplicity of this, okay? Because if you were to ask, what is it that Jesus requires of me? This is it. Come. What does Jesus require of you? What does Jesus require of anybody? Come. That's the basic invitation. Just come. I mean, sometimes I think people like me, and I'm talking about preachers, you know, professional, you know, Christians, we make it so difficult for people to, you know, find God, because what do we say? You know, I mean, we've got to, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do all of these different things. You know, when the Apostle Paul was in the jail in Philippi, and there was a big earthquake, and the jailer came in, he thought everybody had left. He was about to stab himself in the heart with his own sword, you know, and commit suicide. And Paul said, no, you don't need to do that. We're all still here. And he came in, and what was the question he asked? He said, what must I do to be saved? And, you know, if we were asked that question, like, what must I do to be saved? You know, a lot of us say, well, you need to come to church, and you need to read your Bible, and you need to, you know, you need to pray. And we would have a list of all these things that you need to do. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You know, basically what he was saying was, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, that's it. You know, everywhere you look, if you were to ask someone from any different type of religion, religion is all about what you got to do to make yourself right with God. For example, if you were to ask the Jews of Jesus' day, what must I do to be right with God? What they would say is, well, we've got a list of these do's and don'ts. We call them the Ten Commandments, and we'll take the Ten Commandments and we'll make about 633 or so, you know, rules and regulations. And if you do the do's and don't do the don'ts, then you're going to be right with God. This is what you must do to be right with God. If you ask any Jew today, you've got to keep the law. You've got to do these things. There's nothing else. Right? There's no other way you're going to be right with God. You got to do the do's and don't do the don'ts. If you ask a Muslim, what must I do to reach paradise? Well, it's very simple. You've got to adhere to the five pillars of Islam. You need to pray five times a day. You need to fast 1 month out of the year during the day, but you can feast at night. You got to do pilgrimage. You got to do all these things. If you do these things, then you know you're going to make paradise. If you were to ask a Hindu, what have I got to do in order to reach nirvana? And what they're going to say is well, three times a day at your shrine, at your home, if you'll make a little sacrifice, then you're going to get yourself right, and hopefully maybe you'll be reincarnated, you know, somehow, some way. I mean, on and on through every religion in this world, there's a bunch of do's. Do this, do this, don't do that. When you come to Christ, the invitation is just come. What must I do to be saved? Just come. I mean, you see how simple that is? It's not difficult. We're not talking about any type of formula or anything like that. Just come to Jesus. And look at how he qualifies this, because it is qualified. And it's qualified in this way. He says, come to me, all of you. Well, now what that means is everybody needs to come to Jesus. And by the way, who is excluded from all of you? Well, you know, you're shaking your head because you know I've done this before, but actually, there is an exclusion here. That's what I mean by it's qualified. He says, he didn't say, come all of you. It's not what Jesus said. Look at it again, verse 28. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. You see that word weary there? That Greek word that's translated weary is referring to someone who is just smooth wore out. Somebody that has just been working without a break, and they are just done. They've got no more strength. I can't come on. This is the word weary. And then he says, those of you who are weary and burdened. And this word burden refers to that pack. It actually is a military word. It's the pack that a soldier would carry. And if he was going on a short trip, it would be a light load. If he was going on a long trip, it would be heavier because you got to pack enough supplies to go. And so if you're burdened, that is, you're carrying this pack, and the implication is that it just keeps getting added onto. So there's more and more. So not only are you just smooth wore out, but you still got that weight, and you're just stooped over. You know, I mean, it's somebody that just can't go any further. Jesus said, if that's you, now listen, if you're strong enough, if you've got it all together, man, you've got this thing figured out, you've got all your problems solved, you don't have anything really to worry about or anything like that, then fine, I'm not talking to you. But if you are burdened, if you are wore out and under the load and you can't go any further, you're the one I'm looking for. It's what Jesus is saying. Do you hear that? He says, come to me all. So none of the weary and burdened here are, because you might say, well, hold on a minute, you really don't know what's going on in my life. Right? I mean, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the problem I've got. You don't know the issue that I'm facing. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm not talking about different issues. I'm just talking about you. If you're weary, if you're just smooth wore out and you can't go any further, and the weight is just too long, too large, he just says, come. Just come. That's the invitation. All who are weary and burdened. First word is come, and I just want you to hear how simple that is. The second word is a little bit different. He says, and take. So look at verse 29. He says, all of you, take up my yoke. Now, again, a yoke is something that connected two together, okay? So, in fact, the yoke always implies two. When he says, take up my yoke, he's not just saying, hey, I'm going to add to your burden, right? I'm going to stick something on you. He's basically saying, yoke up or connect to me. When he says, take my yoke, the picture you ought to get is, here's Jesus and he's got a yoke and he's saying, hey, I got a place for you right here. So yoke up to me, connect to me. So when Jesus said, come unto me, all you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. He's saying, come on, connect, okay? But watch, the word take here is an action word. It is something that you have to do. I mean, it implies deliberate action. In other words, Jesus is not going to come along and say, hey, man, I'm going to stick this yoke on you. Jesus is not going to force anything on you. If you're going to play it cool, if you're going to go, well, you know, I've got this thing together, thanks, I don't need, Jesus is not going to say, no, you're going to take this thing. No, the invitation is to come and take the yoke. And beloved, the yoke is available for every part or every area of your life. You've got to make a decision to take the yoke, and you've got to decide that you're going to bring that yoke to bear in every area, in your business life, your home life, your marriage life, your parenting life, your school life. I mean the yoke is good for every area of life. Whatever bothers you, whatever burdens you, whatever heartache you have, whatever care, you can yoke to Jesus or not. You can take his yoke or not. And taking the yoke of Jesus is not something that you do by accident. It doesn't just happen. It is a deliberate action that you take to take his yoke. You say, okay, well, Brother Greg, you just said I don't have to do anything. All I got to do is come. So how do I take his yoke? Well, how do you do anything when it comes to Jesus? You do it by faith. You put your faith and trust in Jesus. You bring yourself to Him and you give yourself completely to Him. And by faith, what happens as you come to Jesus and as you submit yourself to His authority in your life, what you're doing is you're taking the yoke. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter's speaking about faith and how we do this thing. He said, cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. That is a faith action. So by faith, I come to Jesus and I take His yoke as I lay my life down before Him and I give up to Him the right to make the decisions about my own life. That's what it means to take the yoke of Jesus. So Jesus says, come unto me. There's the basic invitation. All you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest and take my yoke upon you. The third word He gives us here is the word learn. So look again at verse 29. He says, take up my yoke and learn from me. Now, again, the Greek word that's translated learn here is the word that is typically translated disciple. He basically says, be discipled by me. Okay? A disciple is a learner. And do you know how a disciple learns anything? A disciple learns something by being with the teacher. Okay, a disciple is not someone that just gets a book and reads it and figures out how to do something. A disciple is someone who comes alongside the master teacher and watches him and walks with him and listens to him and mimics him and does what he does and acts the way he does. That's what a disciple is. So what Jesus is saying here is when you come and you take my yoke, what you're going to do is you're going to, now, because watch this, when you're yoked to Jesus, what does that mean, right? You're with him. You can't be yoked to something and go this way while they go that way. And so when you're yoked to Jesus, you're walking with him and you will be discipled by the Lord Jesus. And how does discipleship work? Well, you're watching the master teacher. You're taking the master teacher at his word. You're listening to him. You're putting to bear or bringing into play the word of God in your own life. This is what it means to be yoked to him. This is what it means to learn from him. Well, what are you going to learn when you come to Jesus? What are you going to learn when you're yoked to Jesus? Well, you know, first of all, you're going to learn the heart of Christ. In fact, if you look down and see exactly what Jesus said, he said, learn from me because I am gentle and humble in heart. Do you see that? If I were to ask you, what is the heart of God? I mean, honestly, do you know God's heart? Well, if you're yoked to Jesus, you're going to know his heart. What is God all about? Is God, you know, the kind of God that's sitting up there ready to zap me whenever I make a mistake? Because quite honestly, that's the impression that a lot of people have of God. You know, I got to be careful because I said that word or I did that thing or whatever. And it's like God is kind of like that father, you know, that's just waiting, right? So that if you do anything, man, here comes the belt, pop, 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 and whack on your backside. I mean, you know, I don't know if you had a father like that, but I did, right? And so, and I was afraid, man, that's what kept me on the straight and narrow. But beloved, that's not the heart of God. He says, when you're yoked to me, you're going to learn my heart. I'm gentle and humble. And you know, both of those, gentleness and humbleness, were not necessarily virtues in Jesus' day. People would hear that and go, well, why do I want gentle and humble, right? I want to be strong and assertive and I want to, you know, get my own rights. I want to be exalted up there. Jesus said, no, you're going to learn my heart. Learn that I'm gentle and humble. And basically, beloved, the heart of God is a heart that is filled with love and grace and mercy. One of the ways I pray every day, Father, I just thank you for your love and grace and mercy, which is new and fresh every day. I don't have to depend on yesterday's love, yesterday's mercy, yesterday's grace to make it through today. I've got it today from you. And you created this day and you've done all of this for me just because you're God and you love me. Beloved, when you've come to understand the heart of God, you're going to find an entire world opening up of incredible blessing and grace and truth and mercy. This is God's heart, who desires to bless you more than you even want to be blessed, who desires to put his grace on you even more than you, you know, desire to receive it. When Jesus says, I'm humble and I'm gentle, what he means is I haven't come alongside you to hurt you. I've come alongside you to help you to carry that burden. What you're going to find when you yoke yourself to Jesus, what you're going to learn is that the heart of God is for you and the burden is lightened. And this is the great lesson. We're going to see that a little bit more here in just a moment. But we also learn when you're yoked to Jesus, you're not only going to learn his heart, but you're going to learn his ministry as well. Why did God save you and just leave you here? Why didn't he just take you straight to heaven? Why didn't he just rapture us the minute, you know, we're saved? And the answer is because he's got some things going on down here that he wants for us. You know, Jesus is the master teacher. And what he does is as he carries our burden, because that's what that yoke does. It takes the burden off us and it puts us on the master, the strong one. Because, you know, when you yoke two animals together, if one is real strong and one is real weak, you know, most of it is going to be carried by the strong one. I am weak, he is strong. So when I yoke myself to Jesus, now the burden becomes lighter. And what I do is I learn the ministry of Christ firsthand in my own life. And what does that do for me? It gives me the opportunity to begin to minister to others. You know what the Bible says? In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." Did you get that? Because nobody said amen. That's why I wonder. Carry one another's burdens. Are we awake here? Carry one another's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, Jesus, I'm yoked to him. He carries my burden. And then what he invites me to do is come alongside others and yoke myself to them. Now listen, if I'm yoked to Jesus and then I'm yoked to you, what does that mean about you? Right? And so now we got Jesus not only carrying my burden, but helping carry your burden as well. And now you're learning from that. Maybe you don't even know the Lord. Maybe you're somebody who has absolutely no clue about God, or maybe you're just kind of, you know, one of those peripheral Christians. You know what's really interesting about this? I've been a pastor now for 30, I'm working on 34 years as a pastor. And you know what I've discovered is that most believers, most of us, and I include myself in this, most of us not only continually struggle under heavy burdens. I'm always amazed that of how, you know, how many of us as God's people, man, we're just about to go under. We feel like, you know, the burden is just so great, and whatever it is, and it can come in all different shapes and forms, but every one of us struggle against some burden. Some of us are just weighed down. But what really has amazed me is that most of us believers never really come to the place where we can help somebody else with their burden. And I wonder about that sometime. Because most of us just kind of get spiritually isolated. And what happens is we struggle under what I would call spiritual back strain. And so here we are, we're weighed down and we keep our heads down, right? And this happens even in the church, right, where we're a family of faith and we ought to know better than this. But instead of looking around and admitting that I need some help so that maybe somebody else can come alongside with me, I don't want to look around and see somebody else who's burdened down, because then I might have to help and get involved in that. And I'm not sure I can do that. I'm carrying my own. And in the United States, right, in America, we kind of have this sense or feeling everybody ought to carry their own burdens. Except the scripture says, carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And my point would just be, when I'm yoked to Jesus, not only does he lighten my burden, but what that does is it gives me the wherewithal to look around and say, well, here's a brother who's struggling. I'm going to come alongside with him. Lord, if you could use me as we're yoked together, let's yoke with this brother. Let's yoke with this sister. Let's fulfill the law of Christ, because I was created for more than just existing. I was saved for this world, for eternity, yes, but for this world as well. And it might very well be that what he's calling me to do, and let's just turn this around, it might very well be what he's calling you to do. To come alongside a brother or sister who is about to go under and just needs some help. When you're yoked to Jesus, you're going to learn what ministry is all about, because he's going to do it in your life. Right? The disciples learn. Last word here is the word take. In fact, I forgot something. Let me back up just a minute. So Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Okay, before we get to take, I ran across this quote from St. Augustine. So Augustine was one of the early church fathers. He was one of the great theologians of the early church. This is what he said about this yoke. Watch this. Any other burden oppresses and crushes you, but Christ's yoke takes weight off you. Any other burden weighs you down, but Christ gives you wings. Now listen to his illustration here. It's fascinating. He says, if you take a bird's wings away, you might seem to be taking weight off it, but the more weight you take off, the more you tie it down to earth. Give it back the weight of its wings, and you'll see how it flies. The yoke of Christ is not a burden. It's like getting the ability to fly. Last word here, take. Okay, so Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary of burden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Last word is find, sorry. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for yourselves, for your soul. The Holman Bible here translates that word, yourselves. You'll find rest for yourselves. But the Greek word there, psuche, and it refers to our soul, or the innermost part of our being. He says, what you're going to find in all these things, so you come, you take, you learn, and what you're going to find is rest. This word rest here is the word Sabbath. You're going to find a Sabbath for your soul. You know what a Sabbath is? Yeah. A Sabbath is where you do no more work. Sabbath is the day where there's no work for you. It's a day of rest. What Jesus is saying here is what you're going to do is you're going to stop trying to make yourself good enough for God. You're going to stop trying to get yourself right with God, and you're going to be able to rest. Because, see, Jesus does all that for you. Jesus makes you good enough for God. Jesus gives you life. You don't have to struggle for life when you're yoked to Jesus. You don't have to try to get it all figured out. You don't have to keep carrying that heavy load when you're yoked to him. You're going to find that he makes you good enough for God, and he ultimately takes care of the rest of it as well. And that's why the invitation has come. And notice it's rest for your soul. Jesus didn't necessarily promise rest for your body. I got to admit to you, I'm standing up here today, and I am just wore out physically. I've been doing too much lately, okay? And I know that may come as shock to some of you, but I have. I'm just wore out physically. But spiritually, man, I tell you, Sunday energizes me, because when God's people get together and we worship the living God, and then we open the Word of God together, I mean, it just does something to me. This is what Jesus is talking about. Rest for your soul. We're not talking about rest for the body. We're talking about rest for your soul. He's not talking about sitting down and not doing anything. He's not talking about being a couch potato. He doesn't say that you come to me and then you can just stop all activity. But what's going to happen is your soul's going to find rest deep down inside, where you really need it. In that deepest part of you that struggles and strives and just gets wore out, that's the rest that Jesus brings. You know, if you were to think about the world in which we live and the culture in which we live, one word that would describe it is restless, right? There used to be a program on TV. I'm honestly not sure if it's on still. It may still be. It was called The Young and the Restless, right? Yeah, right. Praise God. I remember that one. My granddad called it The Young and the Rest of Us. But just a little play on words there. But you know what? It's not just the young and the restless. It's the old and the restless too. Let's just be honest about that. That restlessness is not a function of age. It's a function of activity, work that has no point. How do I find rest for my soul? Heard a story about a man who went to his doctor one time. He was just run down, man. He was just wore out. So he goes to his doctor. He says, "Doc, I'm wore out." Well, the doctor checked him out, blood pressure, everything, temperature and everything. Couldn't find anything wrong. He says, "Man, I don't find anything wrong with you." And the guy says, "Doc, give me something because I am just wore out. I'm run down." So the doctor, because everybody wants a prescription. Give me a pill, take this pill, and everything will be cool, right? So give me something. So the doctor took his pad out. Okay. He wrote out the prescription. The guy snatched it out of his hand, took off out the door, went to the pharmacy, slapped the prescription down for the pharmacist. Pharmacist took one look at it and said, "Well, I can't feel this here." And the guy said, "What are you talking about? Is this a pharmacy?" "Yes." "Is that a prescription?" "Yes." "Feel my prescription. I can't feel this here." The guy said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, look at it." For the first time, the guy looked at the prescription, and the doctor had written on that prescription card, "Take a liberal dose of Colossians 3:15 five times a day." Well, the guy, first of all, had no clue what Colossians 3:15 was. Anyway, he's furious. He goes back to his doctor. He says, "What's this all about?" The doc said, "Well, did you read Colossians 3:15? The guy said, "No." So he said, "Here's Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of the Messiah," or the peace of Christ, "to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts." He said, "Friend, your problem is not that you're all run down. The problem is you're all wound up. There's no peace in your life. And you're never going to find true peace except from Jesus Christ. And if you would just come to Christ, you would find everything that you're looking for." Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye who are weary, are heavy laden." If you got it all together, you don't need Jesus. Okay, cool. You figure it out, you do it yourself. But if you're under a heavy load and you can't make it, and you know it, come to Jesus. Take his yoke. There's the activity. There's the action. By faith, take that yoke, which doesn't weigh you down more. It actually lightens the load. And learn from Jesus. And when you do that, you will find what you're looking for. You will find rest for your soul. So it's spring cleaning. Yeah. Right? There's some things that we need to take out to the curb and just leave there. But there are some things you can't just leave at the curb. How are you going to make it? Well, you yoke yourself to Jesus, you find that carpenter's yoke. And what you're going to find is the life and the peace, the joy, all those things that the scripture says they're all going to come into your life as you come to Jesus and take his yoke and learn and find rest. "All ye who are weary or burdened," he was speaking to you. And my guess is that he's speaking to every one of us in this room this morning. And I would just ask you this morning, would you come to Jesus? The invitation is for all who are weary and burdened. If you would say, "I just can't make it anymore without him." The invitation, come, take, learn, find. And he is all you really need. Father, I pray today that as we just take your word at its word, and we bring it to bear in our lives, Lord, we put it into practice. And God, I don't know exactly what that might mean for every one of us. I know that it's faith. And some of us, Lord, struggle with faith, kind of like that old boy who said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Some of us need some help with our faith, Lord. And I just pray today, Lord, because Jesus didn't turn that guy away, you wouldn't turn any of us away either, Lord. If we need help with our faith today, God, would you just come help us? But Father, that we might just recognize, and I'm talking about every one of us, Lord, that what we really need is you. I want to thank you for your word. And Lord, as it just bears fruit in our life of repentance and everlasting life, Lord, as the saving grace of Jesus just flows through this place today, God, I pray for the weary travelers who are looking for that yoke. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.